The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you back once again to our very special silsila, The Special Ten. In this program, we will be continuing our discussion with regards to the blessed lives of those 10 specific, 10 special and 10 blessed individuals who received the glad tidings of paradise from the very tongue of our beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But before that, inshallah azza wa jal, let's listen to a blessing of reciting salawat and salam and durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Holy Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, those people who sit in any gathering and do not make the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal and do not recite salat upon the Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, such people will be overwhelmed with regret and wistfulness on the Day of Judgment when they see its reward, even if they enter Jannah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا رسول الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, the blessed lives of the Sahaba Ikram alayhim radwan, the blessed lives of such these blessed companions are a means and a source of guidance and light for us. And particularly, currently we are discussing the blessed life of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So, continuing with this discussion, one of the beautiful attributes that many companions, including Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala and all of the companions alayhim radwan, we see that it stood out in their life. It was a big part of their life that's been discussed. And that attribute is the fear of Allah azza wa jal. No doubt, each and every companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being in the company of the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, possesses a great amount of the fear of Allah azza wa jal. But with certain companions, this is an attribute that is discussed greatly in their lives, and it is a major part of the discussion of their lives when their lives are discussed. So this attribute of the fear of Allah Almighty, this was a great attribute even in the life of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is something that we also need to hear and learn from. So inshallah, we'll be discussing today with regards to the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal that Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu possessed. And inshallah, let's make an intention that we will try to take some lessons which from this discussion we will then implement into our own lives inshallah Azza wa Jal. Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiyallahu ta'ala an, he was a famous Tabi'i saint, that O Ka'b radiyallahu an, tell us some frightening things. Carrying out the order, Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiyallahu ta'ala an humbly said, O leader of the believers, if you come on the Day of Judgment with the deeds of 70 Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, you will still consider those good deeds to be very less after you have seen the condition of the Day of Judgment. Listening to it, the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, he lowered his head for a while. Having recovered from this overwhelming state, he radiyallahu ta'ala an then said, O Ka'b, carry on, continue please. He radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, O leader of the believers, if as much part of hell as a nostril of a bull is opened in the east, the brain of the person present in the West will boil and flow out due to its heat. On hearing this, the leader of the believers lowered his head for a while because of experiencing strong feelings. Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiallahu anhu further said, on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will gather all people of every age in a plain. Then angels will descend and stand in rows. Afterwards, Allah Azza wa Jal will say, O Jibra'il, bring hell. Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam will bring hell with its 70,000 reins being pulled. When hell is 100 years of distance away from creation, it will thunder so fiercely that the hearts of the creation, their hearts will tremble with fear. When it will thunder again, every respected angel and Nabi will kneel down. When it will thunder for a third time, the hearts of the people will move up to their throats and their intellect will be overpowered by fear. Thereafter, Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam will humbly say, O Allah Almighty, for the sake of my munajat, my supplication, I ask you for myself only. Sayyidina Isa Ruhullah ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam will humbly say, O Allah Almighty, for the sake of the respect you have given me, I ask you for myself only. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islam brothers, have you noticed how terrifying and how scary these scenes of the judgment will be, especially when hell is brought forward on the Day of Judgment? Just imagine now, and this was the fear of Allah Almighty that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu possessed, that he was overwhelmed by strong feelings and by the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla whilst hearing about the description of the Day of Judgment. And this is something that we need to think about. How often have we thought about the Day of Judgment? The actions that we're carrying out today, how will we end up being on the Day of Judgment? What sort of consequences will these actions of ours bring about? Now just imagine that today the sun is at a distance of 4,000 years from us, and it has its back towards us, not its front side, but its back turned towards us. On the Day of Judgment, this very sun will be only at a distance of 1.25. The sun will be only at a distance of a 1.25 mile, and its front on that day will be facing us. Rather than its back, its front will be facing us on that day. And on that day, due to its heat, brains will boil and people will be sweating so much that they will be soaked in their own sweat. They will be drowned in their own sweats on different levels. And even it is stated that the sweat of the people, it will be soaked through 70 yards into the earth. And then the sweat that earth is not able to absorb, that will start to rise. And some people will have it rise up to their ankles, some up to their knees, and for some it will rise up to their chest, and yet others it will rise up to their necks. And for the disbelievers, their sweat will rise up to their mouths and will get hold of them like reins. They will be paddling into it. In this state of extreme heat, the level of thirst one will feel is beyond words. It cannot be described. Just think of a hot day in this world. A hot day that when the sun is out fully, there are no clouds and it's a hot day of summer. Imagine the heat on that day. And imagine the thirst we feel on that day. This is in the world. Imagine the Day of Judgment, when the situation is how we've just described and discussed. If this is the situation on the Day of Judgment, imagine the thirst that a person feels. And then it is stated that tongues of the people will shrink like thorns, and some people's tongues will be sticking out with their hearts stuck in their throats. their intensity of punishment will depend upon the severity of their sins. Even though the punishment will be so severe, there will be no support or help. A brother will run away from his own brother. Parents will run away from their children, and members of the whole family will try to escape from each other. Every individual will be worried about himself, and nobody will help anyone else. And then imagine at that time, despite all of these difficulties, hell will also be brought, and the heart of the creation will tremble. In short, the hardships of the Day of Judgment will be such that even big righteous deeds will also be felt less. They'll seem very little. Very wise people will lose their wisdom, and the blessed Anbiya Kiram alayhi salatu wasalam, who are certain of their forgiveness, who are definitely going to be forgiven, will also have a concern for themselves. Just ponder over that. What a critical time that is. And then let's think about for a few moments about our actions, about our deeds, and how will we stand in the court of Allah Almighty on the Day of Judgment, and what will our state be under these difficult conditions. My dear Islam brothers, this is just a small glimpse of the fear of Allah Almighty that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu possessed, and also a small description to make us think about the Day of Judgment. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, his fear that he possessed, the fear of Allah Almighty that he possessed in his heart, was so great that it was apparent throughout his entire life, throughout many acts of his life. So for example, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when he would pray, when he would be offering salah, when he would be praying salah, and that time, many a times it is narrated that Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu an, he would start to cry out of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And keep in mind, we're discussing people who received the glad tidings of paradise from the very tongue of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, despite being one of these people, look at the fear of Allah Almighty that he possesses in his heart. And this is a very strong message to all of us, that him, despite being guaranteed paradise from the owner of paradise, from the distributor of paradise, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, my dear Islam brothers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has to be the owner and the distributor of paradise to give glad tidings such as these to individuals like the Sahaba Ikram alayhim Ridwan, that he promised paradise to, that he guaranteed paradise to. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, despite being guaranteed and promised paradise by the blessed tongue of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is still so fearing, and he has such strong fear of Allah azza wa jalla in his heart. And we've heard about his humbleness, the way he lived his life. Now it is stated, his own son Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu has said, once whilst offering salah led by Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'min, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I heard the sound of his crying behind three rows behind, I heard the crying of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Likewise, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Sa'ib radiallahu anhu, he has narrated that once Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he got late due to some reason in Isha Salah. So I led the Isha Salah. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anhu came later on and he joined the Salah. And he says, reciting Surah Az-Zariyat, when I reached this blessed ayah, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ, and in the heavens is your sustenance and that which you are promised. Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, hearing this verse, he started to cry loudly. He started crying loudly. Subhanallah. This is the way and the manner and the method of offering salah of such a great individual who has been guaranteed paradise. Now let's take a look into our manner of offering salah. How do we stand in salah? What is our level of focus in salah? What are we thinking about in salah? Are we thinking about and lost in the thoughts of friends, home, business, family? Or are we truly focused that I am present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm present in the court of Allah Almighty, and I need to be focused in my salah. How often have we tried in salah due to the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, due to the fact that we heard a touching ayah, a touching verse of the Holy Quran which touched our hearts and which truly instilled the fear of Allah Almighty in our hearts. This is something for us to ponder over. And let's try to develop that quality into our hearts, into ourselves, that we also cry when we're hearing the recitation of the Holy Quran. And if we cannot cry, at least try to cry. You know, even if we force ourselves to cry, we imitate these good individuals, inshallah, we'll still reap blessings. And keep in mind the importance of salah. Where at the moment we're talking about crying or not crying in salah. But unfortunately there are individuals who do not even pray their salah, who miss their salah, and they do not consider it a big deal. Keep in mind salah is such an important right from amongst the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla that we have to fulfill. This is such an important right that this will be the first thing that we are questioned about on the Day of Judgment. From amongst the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this will be the first right that we are questioned about on the Day of Judgment. The Blessed Hadith states, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ صَلَاتُهُ, that the first question on the Day of Judgment from a person, from a bondman, will be about his salah. Therefore we definitely need to try to make out time for our salah over these worldly matters that we are currently giving preference to. In addition to the many other attributes that Sayyidina Farooq Adam radiallahu ta'ala possesses, one of them is his fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, as we're discussing. To the extent that sometimes when he was overwhelmed and overpowered by the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he would utter statements such as, I wish I could be a fat-tailed sheep of my family, which they would feed until I would become very fat, very big. Then their dear friends would become their guests, and they would slaughter me for them. Then they would roast my meat. Some meat would be eaten after cutting into small pieces. I wish I were not a human. Once he radiallahu ta'ala picked up a lump of earth from the ground and he said, I wish that I could be the lump of earth. I wish that my mother had not given birth to me. I wish I could be nothing. I wish that I could be a forgotten thing. SubhanAllah, this is Sayyidina Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, the very individual who has the closeness, who has a great status even in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, who has received the glad tidings of paradise from the very tongue of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Yet when he is overwhelmed with the fear of Allah azza wa jal, he is overtaken with the fear of Allah azza wa jal, he is wishing that he wasn't a human. Why? Because he's wishing he was an animal, or he was just a lump of earth, a piece of land, a non-living being. Because non-living beings and animals, they do not have to fear about giving account and being held accountable in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. But as a human, we are to be held accountable for our deeds. So this is something that for all of us to ponder over. That Sayyidina Amirul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, when he is overpowered with fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we see this in the other companions alayhim ridwan, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, like Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where we hear that they would wish that their mother had not given birth to them. They would wish that they were just a bird that's perched on a tree. Because these beings, these creations, they do not have the fear of accountability. May Allah Azza wa Jal also grant us the ability to have fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Another thing that we see in the lives of the companions alayhim urdwan, that they would be fearful of the secret divine plan of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know how we are Muslims. Maybe some of us were born Muslims. Maybe some of us accepted Islam in our lives. And we were what we term as reverts to Islam. But the fact still stands that none of us has a guarantee that we will die in a state of Iman. We will die whilst being steadfast upon Islam, and we will die with our Iman. Because the secret divine plan of Allah Almighty is such that a person sometimes lives his whole life as a Muslim, but certain acts displease Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this person, when he's about to pass away, just before he passes away, maybe a matter of days, months, or maybe a matter of minutes, maybe a matter of hours before his passing away, he leaves Islam, he rejects Islam. And on the other hand, a person lives his whole life in a state of disbelief, but just before his death, maybe a moment of days, moment of weeks, days, or maybe hours, maybe minutes, the person embraces and he accepts Islam, and in that state he passes away. So none of us has any awareness of what Allah Azza wa Jalla has planned for us. And this was the very secret plan of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the divine plan of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that our pious predecessors feared. To the extent that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he would sometimes request children that ud'u li fa innaka lam tadhnab ba'du, make dua for me because you have not committed sins yet. The very individual that we're discussing, whose life we're discussing, that he has been guaranteed paradise, but look at him, he is taking children and requesting them to pray for him, to make dua for him, to supplicate for him, to supplicate for his forgiveness. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. These are things that we need to really ponder over, we need to be thinking about. Let's listen to some of the statements of the Blessed Companions alayhim ridwan that they said regarding Sina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala has stated, مَا كَانُ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ بِأَوَّلِنَا إِسْلَامًا وَلَا أَقْدَمِنَا هِجْرَةً وَلَكِنَّهُ كَانَ أَزْهَدَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَرْغَبَنَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he neither embraced Islam first before us, nor migrated before us, but he disliked the world and longed for the hereafter more than us. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas has said, وَاللَّهِ مَا كَانَ عُمَرُ بِأَقْدَمِنَا هِجْرَةً وَقَدْ عَرَفْتُ بِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ فَضَّلَنَا كَانَ أَزْهَدَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. That by Allah, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu did not migrate before us, but I have understood this as to why he surpassed us, why he has gone above us and beyond us, is that because he was more righteous and pious than us. Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq radiallahu anhu, he says, كَانَ أَكْثَرُ كَلَامِ عُمَرْ أَلَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. That Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, most frequently, very frequently, he will just say, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu has narrated that whilst reciting invocations, sometimes Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would weep so much that he would fall over losing consciousness, and he could not go out of his house for a day or two. Allahu Akbar. Such a great amount of fear of Allah Almighty, the Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated. It has been narrated that Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu was one of those people, one of those individuals who used to recite the Quran beautifully. Once Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him, O Ibn Amir, recite loudly Surah Bara'at to me today. When he started reciting it, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wept abundantly. He then said, it is my presumption that this ayah has just been revealed. Allahu Akbar. Now this is something for us to ponder over. If we look at the life of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, once Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu passed by a home of someone who was reciting Surah At-Tur, he radiallahu anhu stopped there and started listening to the recitation. And when the person started reciting the blessed ayah, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعُ مَا لَهُ مِن دَافِعُ, indeed your Lord's punishment is definitely to take place and there is no one to avert it. He radiallahu anhu got off his donkey and stood leaning against a wall and kept pondering over these ayat for a long time. And afterwards he went back to his home and he remained ill for months. He remained ill for a month. People would come to inquire after his health, but no one could know the reason for his illness. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islam brothers, just have a think about this. You know, we've just heard about the blessed life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, a glimpse of his fear of Allah azza wa jal that he possessed. Think about it ourselves now. Has there ever been a time when tears have flown out of my eyes due to the fear of Allah azza wa jal? Has there ever been a time where I have spent my entire night in the worship of Allah Almighty? Has there ever been a time where I have spent, maybe there are times where we have spent, ma'azallah, a full night spent watching movies, listening to music, attending a concert, hanging around and going out with friends. But has there even been one night in my life that I have spent in the worship of Allah Almighty? I have spent and dedicated the entire night just to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is something for us to ponder over. This is something for us to think about. Have we ever been frightened thinking about the displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Something could displease Him. Have we ever been scared of this? And these are feelings that we need to create within ourselves through the blessings of the lives of the individuals that we are discussing. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us the ability to develop these characteristics within us. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special tense of Abba radiyallahu anhu.